Soybeans making some new lows in the trade. What seems to be the catalyst for it? Weather or is it the crush numbers? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us. Mike, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics, and that's what we're going to start out this afternoon. Is Mike, what is your takeaway to the drop we saw in the beans?
Yeah, the big takeaway for Tuesday's trade, it seems to me, Susan, is that the two major grain / oil seeds that have positive price action going into the close is the corn and the soybean oil. And so I have to think that there is a mindset developing that's relatively new that comes off the WASDE report and comes off of the recent EPA virtual meeting and testimony that they've had regarding their mandate and the public policy forum that they have open right now and comment period they have open for their RFS mandates, that the trade has seen a reason to keep the long side in the corn and in the bean oil. But the crush itself for June at 185.7 million bushels, this is a NOPA number that just came out on Tuesday about midday, actually was the highest ever on a monthly crush basis for the month of June. And soybean oil stocks also dropped to a five-month low. It's interesting, the market kind of parsed that data and, as I said, kept the soybean oil strong, probably in part because of that lower stocks data for the oil, but they did not take that very well with the meal market. In fact, we've made a new nine-year low in the soy meal here late in the trade session, and we've gone below that $265 a ton level. And so we can't say at this point, with July meal going off the board and August taking over as lead month futures, that we have a low in place, which I think many of us in the trade were hoping that maybe the meal had been beat up enough and over a large number of months.
If you and I could rewind to back when we were talking in late April, who would have ever thought mid-July weather would be what it is today?
Yeah, this is where even up until mid to late June, I was receiving private weather forecasts along with many of my colleagues, many of like you in the media, but also in the commodity analysis world that suggested that we were going to have a hot and dry middle part of the country for the month of July. And that just simply has not happened. And I think that's another element of what happened on Tuesday's trade as well. And the way I see it is the soybeans are now the leader to the downside again, thanks in part to the WASDE report and the fact that we still have a record world ending stocks number and a very large percentage of a very substantial June import number of soybeans going to China and going into China, almost all those being Brazilian soybeans. And at this point in time, Susan, I've not seen any new bookings from China on new crop soybeans for export. And between that and the jump of 3 points and the good to excellent conditions on Monday afternoon's crop conditions report, I think there's enough reasons, along with this meal break to this fresh new low in the meal, that the soybeans have found themselves back as the preferred selling commodity or sold commodity. And this is in sharp contrast to what we dealt with before the 4th of July and even going into the WASDE report. It seemed as though the funds and the trade in general were buying beans and selling corn. And that's probably the biggest issue that I see going into the end of the month. And I'll just put it out on the table right now. Before the 4th of July, when we were rallying and not rallying on weather, but rallying on expectations for trade deals and seeing this strong demand continue in corn especially, and not seeing the greatest yields that we were expecting in the hard red wheat belt, I thought that we could be in a level, price level, in a time period seasonally where we could have a commodity low and a demand-led low at that. And what shifted the earth underneath me and has allowed us to go to new lows, even though the USDA report met almost all my expectations of tighter wheat ending stocks globally, tighter corn ending stocks globally, tighter U.S. ending stocks of corn, and still pretty lofty bean ending stocks domestically because of a reduced export outlook, we still cannot find that low. And I think it really does go back to what you just brought up, and that is the July weather has not been conducive for a weather bull to jump in there and buy, especially given the trade atmosphere and the tariff issues that we continue to hear about almost on a weekly basis.
Do you have any takeaways on the latest CPA data?
Yeah, the big thing that I noticed, and this goes to the livestock sector, I really am hoping at this point for a correction in livestock that also is almost led by a correction in the wholesale price and also the retail price. In other words, I don't want to have a live cattle and feeder cattle correction without seeing the retail prices come down, because the consumer price index numbers, they're pretty stark. They don't meet what the rest of the CPI suggested and what you're going to read in the headlines. Chicken breast, the boneless cut, up 5% in June versus last June. Beef steaks up 8%. 100% ground beef, U.S. city average, up 12%. The only thing that, and even sliced bacon, the city average there is up 4% versus June of last year. The only thing that's fallen back has been the pork chops, and they are down a little over 3% versus last year at this time, or June of 2024. And so I really do think we're starting to price ourselves out of the consumption, out of the demand side of the equation. That didn't mean much on Tuesday, though, because there was some fresh news suggesting that maybe Brazil would be looking at limiting or starting to cut back on the amount of beef that they were going to send to the United States because of this 50% tariff that we're looking at now after last weekend.
Can cattle pick up the momentum of the cash of last Friday into this week, or is it going to just be at least steady?
I think they are going to be steady, just because we're a little bit tight on numbers and we're still in the middle of the summer grilling season. But I think the box beef and the cutout values slipping, and the fact that we are almost through the summer grilling season, would suggest to me that we're going to have a little bit more of a buyer's market, maybe as we get to the next 30, 45 days from now. It's interesting, USDA came out with a very large increase in 2026 beef production to the tune of, I think, 540 million pounds, Susan. And they said specifically in their commentary that this was due to increased feedlot placements during the second half of this calendar year of 2025. Well, that just naturally goes against the grain of what we're dealing with in terms of the screwworm issue, other than, you know, our own yearlings coming to the feedlots. And that's something that I'm actively investigating and looking into, along with, is part of this increase in feedlot placements going to come from the beef on dairy type situation that sometimes we see seasonally. But that's kind of a wake-up call. If we indeed see this kind of a jump in 2026 beef production, it's probably going to be hard to regenerate this type of rally given these retail prices once we do put a high in place.
All right. Thanks so much. Mike Zuzulo joining us this afternoon. A quick reminder to everybody that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that's another edition of the Market Wrap-Up right here on the American Ag Network.